He's been known to cure narcolepsy just by walking into a room. His organ donation card also lists his beard. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Well, I don't consider myself that interesting, but if you say so.
Whoa, ass ahoy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, hey.
And this is episode 79.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
You don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me.
And, you don't want to get mixed up with a guy like me. But, you may want to listen to the show that drops bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to myself. It feels good to be back in this chair in Dining Room Studios here in the Greenwood neighborhood of beautiful Seattle, Washington. Thank you for joining me this week. We've got a great show planned for you. The band Motopony is going to be joining us shortly. If you notice maybe a different sound in my voice, that's because I am once again, I am sick.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Yes, Kelly Clarkson, indeed. I have been sick nonstop for probably, I'm going to say about 2 months now. This daycare situation, man, is just ruining my body. Part of the problem could probably be that, maybe I should take better care of myself. And that was my New Year's resolution, right? Along with 85 billion other people. Is there 85 billion? There's not even 85 billion people on the planet, right? It's like something like 7 billion or something now, right? Isn't that it? Is that the number? I think that's about right. Maybe you should check the facts on that one. Get back to me. Aaron at air-raid.net. Oh man, I had a great vacation. I know that we got a couple emails asking where the hell we were, where was the show, I had to take a couple weeks off, man. I was tired, I was worn out. Actually, I only took 1 week off. That's about right. I had to take some time off. Spend it with the fam, I got a lot of extended family here in Washington State, and a lot of people to see, a lot of places to go during the holidays, and I made it out safe, not too drunk, not too hungover, which was good, whatever. I usually like to tie one on a couple times during the Christmas break. The holidays are around, and you got all these good drinks that are being made and things to warm your belly and expand your mind. I did not imbibe, all that much. So anyway, that happened. I hope, all of you had a great holiday season, had fun with your families, got some gifts. Gave some gifts, all that good stuff. I hope you guys had a great time. But now we're back. We're back with episode 79 of the Air Raid Podcast, closing in on episode 80, which will be next week. Which will actually, because I am taking a trip to Las Vegas, which I am super, super excited about, you guys. This is going to be my first trip to Las Vegas, and I'm very, very excited. For understandable reasons. I mean, first time in Las Vegas, going with a bunch of dudes, and we're just gonna whoop it up over there. And I'm sure there will be my fair share of imbibing while we are there. So, and I just found out yesterday that the first thing we're doing once we get into Las Vegas, is we're going to a boxing match. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Never been to one of those either. This is going to be a whole weekend of first times for me. So anyway, I don't know when the show is going to go up next week. But I promise you it will be a good one, and it may go up on Sunday night, or it may go up on Friday. And I do not know that as of yet, because I don't know how lazy I'm going to be this upcoming week, okay? So get off my back, man. Anyway, yeah, feeling a little bit under the weather. Once again, got another cold from the kid. Every time my baby puts her hands in my mouth, I end up with something, right? Maybe I need to start washing my hands a little bit more. That wouldn't hurt, right? That's what the CDC tells you to do. And I constantly, you know, disregard those messages. But I think now's the time to start, right? It's good, as good a time as any, right? Start washing your hands. Jesus. Sorry, I got to keep myself hydrated. You may hear me drinking fluids throughout the episode because I just got to keep the fluids running, right? Interesting story. Interesting thing happened to me last week during one of my walks home from the bus stop. So you may, if you go back a couple episodes, you may remember me telling you about my hobo slash dock worker outfit that I have been wearing on Sundays. To explain it really quickly for the new listeners, people who may not have heard this, I have a hoodie that I put on, very comfortable, very loose fitting. I like it. And then over that hoodie, I like to wear this wool-lined or fleece-lined flannel. Very nice. It's got, a bunch of earth tones on it, blues and browns. Anyway, I thought it made me look like a dock worker. My wife, Mairead, told me it looked made me look like a homeless person. Well, we do have confirmation that it makes me look like a homeless person, because the other day I was walking home from the bus and stopped in an alley. It was dark on my walk home, and I really needed to relieve myself. Now, we've had this discussion before on the Air Raid podcast. You know, going number two, not a good thing. Not a good thing in public. You definitely want to steer clear of that. However, number one, when you are a man or a woman, you know, if you can find a good spot, not that bad. And if you got a secluded spot, maybe by a tree or in an alley somewhere, maybe not the best thing to do, but man, if you gotta go, you gotta go. You can't go in your pants. Nobody expects you to go in your pants. Maybe except if you are a homeless person. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm in this alleyway, and I just have to go. And I thought I found a secluded spot, and all of a sudden, a car turns down the alley, comes down, spots me. I'm like frantically putting my, zipping my zipper back up and putting my belt back on and trying to get out of the situation, because of course it's embarrassing, right? We've all been in this situation. You've all been caught once or twice in your life. So I start scrambling away, and the person leans out the window and calls me a hobo. He literally called me a hobo. He said, well, he didn't call me a hobo. He called me a bum, which is basically hobo. You know, they all mean the same thing, right? He leaned out of his car and he said, "Find another place to piss, bum." And there we have it. So we now have confirmation that my outfit does make me look like a homeless person. And no offense to any homeless people that are listening to this show right now. We're not talking about the homeless person that is down on their luck, that is waiting to find another job or anything like that. We're talking about full-time hobos. Anyway, That's what this story is in reference to, right? Oh man, we got a great show for you guys. I can't do much more talking here. You can hear it in my voice. I need to rest. I need to drink liquids. So we're gonna jump right into it. We're gonna get to this chat we had with the band Motopony. Motopony. God, did I say that weird? Yeah, great guys, man. Let's see, Forrest and Brantley. Brantley plays electric guitar. Forrest is the drummer for the band. Both really cool guys, and had a lot of fun talking with them. They've got some funny tour stories for us and some interesting insights into filming their music video in Las Vegas. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. Very cool guys, good conversation. And here we go. We're going to go, to our first musical break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Motopony. This song is off their self-titled full length that you can find at motoponymusic.com. So go and check that out. This song is called King of Diamonds. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast with band Motopony. I think you're going to like it. Stick around. We'll see you in a moment. Till the dealer gave me you. You got everything together. You got everything I want. You got sharp and sparkling pleasure. Bleeding from the middle. All right, we are back. Welcome back to Dining Room Studios. And joining me here is two parts of the band Motopony, which you just heard their song King of Diamonds. And fantastic video, by the way, guys.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going to take my first trip to Vegas next weekend.
Uh-oh.
And your video takes place in Vegas. And I got to ask you about how this video was constructed, because it looks like you just went out onto the strip. And they just started. How did this?
Kind of basically what we did. Right?
Yeah, I don't think Josh had an idea, but I don't think he had a concrete idea.
Right, because there's just like there's people just walking past you and just giving the strangest looks. Because you're all wearing like fur, or there's a couple fur vests involved in that video with no shirt underneath, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of weird, strange looks from people walking down the strip.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because they just had like a woman going around having those people sign waivers. So it was like we were like,
oh, really?
Yeah, we were like walking past people, and then she'd like run up to them and be like, "You're in this video. Sign this if you don't want to be in the video, then don't sign it."
Right, right.
And so it wasn't like it was kind of hectic, but it was really fun.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah,
we just had like fur vests, random attire we picked out, and then just like
that bicycle.
Got like a BMX bike, and then got on the streets of Vegas. And
yeah,
was walking around, getting filmed.
And how long did that take?
It was like a whole day. 12 hours. Really? They started with us at 3 p.m. and we didn't make it back to the hotel until 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just going down there specifically for the video or were you guys playing a show or something?
No, we didn't have anything else going on.
Just the video.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Was that financed by you guys or the label that you were on?
We did play a show, but it was
that was like barely
we played
a show.
We did an acoustic set at the MGM in their conference room for like the Rural Cell Phone Association.
Yeah. How'd that go over?
It was really weird. we didn't play very well.
Yeah.
Because we were all, it's like vendors for like cell phone technology that you didn't even know existed because you live in a city.
Yeah.
But it's like
nobody was paying. There's like a couple people actually looking at us.
Yeah, it was weird. But we got to stay at the MGM for free because of it.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was nice. It wasn't the worst, but it also wasn't the best.
Wasn't the best situation ever. How long were you guys there then for that?
3 nights, I think.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a good good Las Vegas experience while you were there?
Not really.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do any gambling?
No, I don't gamble.
Man, I'm afraid. This is going to be my first trip there. And I'm afraid of losing my shirt, literally. But I'm going. My wife gave me, you know, a stipend of what I can spend there, and I'm nervous that I will get drunk and just be like, I'll just win this back. But so, any suggestions for me, being a Las Vegas virgin, going to the Sin City?
Oh man!
Don't gamble.
Yeah, it sounds like I might have a problem. Yeah.
No, it's definitely weird. Like,
yeah,
when you walk down the strip, there's people on the strip just handing you the cards, like you know, like the back of the stranger. There's like ads for
prostitutes,
yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
But there's people on the strip at like every intersection. Just like forcing them into your hands.
So weird.
And it gets weird. You end up with like 30 of them and you're just like, how did I end up with all these?
Well, haven't you guys learned how to like, you know, be like, no thanks?
They don't say it. You can't.
The only thing you could do is just not look at them, pretend they're not there and don't show your hands.
But they'll, they don't care. They don't look at you like a person.
Right, right.
So they're just like trying to like give it to you.
Oh man.
And you're like, what if I didn't want this? Like, I think Josiah had, when we went back to the hotel, Josiah had like 100 of them because he just kept them all. I was like taking mine and throwing them in the garbage because it's almost just better to take it from them because they'll stop trying to be like awkwardly force something into your hand.
Yeah. Right.
And Josiah was just putting them in his pocket because he wasn't going to, because they're littered all over the place because they hand them to people and then people walk 10 steps and throw them on the ground. Mm-hmm. So Josiah just kept his. And we got back to the hotel, and he was like, look at all these.
He's got like 30 of them.
Yeah, it's like you just take them because you kind of don't have a choice.
Yeah, yeah. See, that made me think of that movie Elf. Have you guys ever seen that with Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Where he just like just goes, he goes, he's like oh, thank you. And he goes back from like these two guys that are just standing, there on the sidewalk. Maybe I'll do that and that'll just be like,
just take
fuck
them
all. You, man.
I don't think there's any deterrent though, because I don't think they care.
No, because they're probably just getting paid through some club or something like that to stand out there and hand these things out.
Yeah, just come there with like a nice tote bag and just start filling it up.
I'll just start collecting.
Yeah.
I'll just make it my hobby.
Uh-huh. Yeah, seriously. What's even more awkward than that is like you'll look down and you'll have the card in your hand and then you'll look up and they're, you know, have you seen those like skinny box trucks that have the advertisements
on them? Yeah, yeah, totally.
That,
totally.
The same card will be like on the side of a box truck, like passing you on the street.
Right.
And you'll be, it's just
with
everywhere.
The phone number.
Yeah, with the phone number. It's like, and it's like sometimes they have lights on them that are like flashing at you. It's just like, God, I get it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm looking forward to this, man. I'm looking forward to getting some pamphlets and then bringing these back home and just like, you know, maybe I'll do some sort of weird paper mache thing. With all the pamphlets.
That could be nice.
That'd be good, right?
Yeah, maybe a
it
nice
could be
collage.
Like an art installment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, down at the Sam. So, okay, well, I forgot to introduce you guys, Brantley and Forrest from Moto Pony. Forrest is the drummer, mm-hmm. correct? Brantley, guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, dudes.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming. Brantley brought his own, what is that, a gallon milk jug of water, because he apparently had a good night last night. Do tell, sir.
I was actually just hanging out with Forrest and Josiah.
Yeah, we're just at my house.
Eating hot dogs and drinking beer. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, sometimes there is hot dogs, but last night it was more about just drinking beer.
No food. Euros. You guys were going for for a personal best mm-hmm. last night. Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job.
Don't let food get in the way.
Right. So you guys are in this band, Moto Pony. Has had some success here in Seattle. I've enjoyed the proverbial shit out of your music. I'm a bit of a fan, so I'm excited to have you guys here. How did this band form? What is the start? How did this thing get started with you guys?
Daniel and Josiah were kind of the formers of the band.
Okay.
It's weird because I've never had to say this story. It's always Daniel that tells it.
Yeah, same story.
But you guys told me when you got here. It was like, we're not usually the guys who do the talking.
Hey,
so that's cool. Yeah. There's a start. There's a start for everything.
Yeah, we're glad to break that virginity with you because it's a good time.
Yeah, totally.
Aaron.
And I'm such a nice guy. Yeah, right. Yeah,
you are. Yeah. You are a nice guy.
You're a nice guy.
Here's your $5.
But yeah, I think it was, I don't want to like be accused of saying anything wrong.
No, that's what this whole show is about. Yeah, no worries.
Daniel had some songs he wrote on his like 3-string acoustic guitar that he had, and then met Josiah through, I think, a songwriter's dinner, and then they both had some stuff of their own, and then they met up, and Josiah really wanted to help Daniel make a record, and Daniel liked Josiah's stuff.
Yeah.
So, like a course of emailing songs back and forth and getting all that tight, then they eventually had the first Moto Pony record.
Okay. And that was like pre you guys then? The first record was pre, it was just them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they self released it in April of 2009.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this project has been going on for a couple of years then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how would you guys okay. I wanted to get into this a little bit later, but we'll just broach this subject right now. How would you guys describe your music? Because when I first saw your name, Moto Pony, I was like, oh my God, these guys are going to be like this hardcore band. and with a name like Moto Pony, I'm absolutely going to enjoy the shit out of it. But then I heard it and I was like, oh, this is a little bit, you know, toned down and still really good. But so how would you guys, this is like the hardest question that anybody can ever answer.
I think we kind of have a going joke in the band. We are flaccid rock.
Flaccid rock. That's right.
That's basically the best genre description of Moto Pony. Because we were being called, soft rock? What were we?
Soft rock. Somebody
called us like soft rock or like rock. Easy listening or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, oh, we should just be flaccid rock.
Flaccid rock, seriously. What did Daniel say? Daniel said, we did a thing for Carson Daly a couple weeks ago, and Daniel.
Oh, he described our the sound.
She was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say these things, if Carson Daly's show's going to hate me after this, but she was like trying to put words into his mouth by just being like, say you're a folk rock band. And he was like, we sound like the ocean sweeping over the rocks in the erosion of the beach underneath the heavy pressure of the ocean or something. Just like,
wow.
And she was like,
just say folk rock.
Just say you're a folk rock band. Like, nobody was having it. No, like, both sides.
Wait, who was saying that you guys were like the waves crashing?
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel was, okay.
But he...
Who knew Daniel was really into geology?
I think that Daniel falls into this mode to where it's like, if he's... You're not gonna, you can't, because that's the thing with the music is like, You can't really put it in a box. Yeah. And you can't just call it folk rock, like, because it's like, that's generic. And you can say that because there's a lot of that happening in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just say, well, we're a Seattle folk rock band.
Uh-huh.
And so I think her, like, trying to push that on Daniel is like, what is the weirdest thing I can say right now?
Because right.
We're going to make this terrible for them.
Yeah, we're going to make it as awkward as possible. Yeah, yeah. But that is, it's like there's so many influences to, like, to bands nowadays, and it's such a huge, like, I don't know, it just spans this huge spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to kind of come up with a good descriptor anymore for newer bands and stuff. But I like that, Flaccid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's spread
good.
The word.
That's good. Did Carson Daly use that one?
No,
unfortunately.
The best part is that Carson didn't even come. He just, like, sent his team.
Uh-huh.
And then they
Where was this at? What was this?
It was in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He has his late night show now.
Right, right.
And so he does, like, band segments.
Yeah.
And
so wait, was this, like, an interview with you guys then? Or
we were playing a show.
Like, they just, like, kind of lined us up outside this venue and were like, say that you're folk rock and tell us where you're from.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like, yeah.
I think at that point, like, nobody knew what to do, so Daniel just kind of took the reins and was like, I'm going to be weird right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome, though.
There was times when Mike was, like, trying to say some normal stuff, and then Daniel was just
And then our tour manager, Danny's in the background, like, be normal. He's, like, making that face, like, just stop being weird and, like, try to make this okay.
Right,
and
right.
Like, we're all, like, not looking at him, like, does anybody see Danny? No. Okay, say something weird.
That's great. Well, was that kind of cool for you guys, though? Like, to
yeah, it's definitely it awesome. Fun, I mean, it's always a
being on Carson Daly is definitely cool.
Yeah, it's always totally.
It's always cool, but it's like it's not. It's cool, like, being in that place, and, like, being like, oh, I'm going to be on Carson Daly's show. But at the same time, then you get to that point to where somebody's like, okay, you're going to be on our show, but you have to do it this way.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's like, there's, like, then, parameters that you guys have to follow.
Oh, and then
stuff,
after the, like, interview or whatever, we were, like, out on the sidewalk. They were like, okay, just walk towards the camera and give us, like, a cool face, and then, like, walk next to it. And we're just
oh,
like,
shit.
What?
Yeah, you're doing, like, a camera flyby.
Yeah, what the hell?
Right, right.
So it was, like, that got
oh,
weird.
Man.
Yeah, that was really weird.
I broke, like, a faux 2x4 over Daniel's head.
What?
Yeah, there was, like, this piece of wood on the ground, but it was, like, not real wood.
Uh-huh.
And Daniel hands it to me, and he goes, break this over my head, because they're filming us. And so I just took it and just smacked him on the top of the head.
It was the coolest part of the night.
I smacked him on the top of the head, and the board just breaks. And Daniel pretends like it's a real 2x4. Like, I just hit him with a 2x4.
It just, like, but falls down in the frame. Yeah.
And everybody was like, what is going on? What? The guitar player just hit the lead singer in the head with a fucking piece of wood. Everybody was freaking
out. And then
out.
it's gonna be like on Carson Daly, and he's gonna be talking about you guys. There's a lot of turmoil going on in this band right now, and they apparently just hate each other.
Well, it already aired. It aired, and I watched it at a bar on the top of Queen Anne, and I don't even remember what bar it was, because I was just like, take me to a place that has a TV. And
did they cut that part out?
This segment was like,
it was like
a lot of music, and then there's like a part where Daniel's like, burp, 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 and then that's like all the talking, and then like back to music, and it was like
a
solid 30 seconds, and then that was Moto Pony. And so,
oh, that,
like,
sucks, man. They like cut out all the good shit.
Yeah, it was like the fun parts, the good parts were cut out, and there's like two parts where Daniel probably says like two sentences each, and then it was like, like cuts into the music video and King of Diamonds, and it's like the rest, like Daniel's talking and I'm like shifty eyed standing there like trying to think of like an answer to the question.
Yeah.
And so you just see my eyes going back and forth from side to side, and everybody else just looks really uncomfortable, like leaned up against this wall, and Daniel's like proud and standing in front of us, and he's just like, I think it sounds like, and then he says, and then it's like cuts back to the music video.
Right, right.
It's like there's no content. Because there was like,
that's so weird.
It's just, there was, I don't know.
I've always thought that that's really weird too. Because like, just like doing this show, and talking with musicians like yourself and stuff, like the kind of the backstory to everything, and just, you know, bullshitting with you guys and sitting here and having a good conversation has always like been the most interesting part to me, right? And like, and you know, getting tour stories or something like that, you know. And it just seems weird that people like still think that, you know, having you and I just did this to you guys, having you explain what kind of music you play and then and then cut to, you know, the music video or something like that just seems so kind of contrived and everything. I don't know.
It's just prepackaged.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's just boring. There's
So was it kind of when you guys saw this thing, were you let down a little bit by it?
I was let down, but at the same time, I was still...
It was also
was
really
still
cool because we were on National.
Yeah, yeah, like, totally. Yeah, I guess
I
that
was
takes
like drunk in a bar, like pointing at the TV, like, that's me.
That's me right there. You see that? You're like turning around. It's like, where's the nearest lady? Show this to.
Everybody in the bar was like, God, who is this animal? He shows up like 2 minutes before last call and is then
right,
like,
right.
demands that you change it to channel 5 or whatever. And then it's like, I'm on TV.
Like, oh, my God.
But I was just trying to watch it because I don't have cable and I don't know anybody that has cable. So I was like,
well, it's just on channel 5, isn't it? Just like it's on like after
it's after like 1 o'clock even,
right? It's after like Letterman or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's like after all the late night TV stuff. It's right, like the last of the late night.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not really prime time.
So what'd you think, what'd you think when you saw yourself on TV, besides the fact that you thought it was awesome? Were you just like, man, like, my hair looks bad or something?
I thought I looked like an idiot because I was just like looking around all over the place.
Yeah.
With like my hands in my pocket. You could tell that like you could tell that everyone felt awkward about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
just like totally awkward. And it looked really awkward because we all felt that way at the time. It was
right,
like we
right.
just were exuding awkwardness. And it was just like, and you could just feel the I was like watching it and I was like, God, is that what I look like when I get awkward?
Oh no.
Like, I don't know.
It's the same thing I do whenever I see a picture of myself. Like, oh fuck, I am that fat. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Or you hear your voice and you're like, that's what I sound like?
Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
Well,
I used to when I would
to
yeah,
that.
when I first started the show, I would listen back, I was like, man, fuck this. I can't keep this up. And I just stopped listening to myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. But yeah, I every time like I take a like somebody takes a picture of me or something, I was always mostly in the later years of my life, you know, when I began my 30s, I'd be looking at pictures of me and my daughter, you know, me and my wife somewhere, and I'd be like, oh, they got the, it's a bad angle, you know. But then I started slowly realizing, it's like, no, dude, it's not the angle, man. It's your body. It's like, that's what you actually look like. Cause it's always strange when like, you guys listen to, like Radio Lab or something like that.
I actually,
you ever heard any of that?
I listened to Radio Lab for the first time a few weeks ago, and I really like it.
Yeah, they did this show about like symmetry, and so they took a picture of Abraham Lincoln, right? And then they reversed it, and so like they were talking about how like when you go and you look into a mirror, like you're seeing the opposite reflection, right?
Yeah,
something that's kind of flipped on its side. And then if you take a picture of yourself, that's what you're seeing the actual thing. So it like, it looks different, right? It looks a little bit off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So every time I like suck it in, when I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I gotta think. And so it's not as flattering as I think it is.
No, that's
sad,
so
right? Did I just bum everybody out?
No,
is that what happened?
Actually,
I realized that
it's true, though. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You are reversed in the mirror.
It's kind of like when they tell you to like cover like if you cover like half your face and then like, or if you like Photoshop yourself so your face is split down the middle and then you like take like mirror the other half of your face, like you look like a completely different person.
Totally,
because
you're not, because not everybody is perfectly symmetrical like Brad Pitt.
I think Brad Pitt's an ugly motherfucker. It's just my opinion.
He's a huge listener. He's a huge fan of this show. So
wow, God, we love you, Brad Pitt.
I'm sorry, Brad.
Mr. Pitt, don't take it out on me.
I loved Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
God, I was just thinking about that movie just the other day. Okay, never mind. That was going nowhere. Well, hey, let's take our second musical break here. Cool. We're gonna play. Now, do you guys have two records out, right?
No,
just one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's self-titled.
Well, there's two different iterations of the record.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because there was the version that was self-released, and then there's like a remixed, remastered, and there's two extra songs on the version that the label released.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's like the one that we made, and then there's the one that we made with the label.
Gotcha.
Basically
gotcha.
The same.
Yeah.
Just sounds a little bit better.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And it's both, and the record is entitled Moto Pony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Self-titled. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is off the record Moto Pony by Moto Pony. And it's I Am My Body. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast. And a little bit more boozy in the second half. We'll just go ahead and say that right now. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. We are back with Brantley and Forrest of Moto Pony. That was the song I Am My Body off of their self-titled full length, which you can probably find in stores and online and at their website, motoponymusic.com. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm on a roll, man. I swear to God, I'm on a roll with like actually having things... called up on my second computer here. So I'm going to try to keep on doing that from show to show.
Doing a great job.
Because it actually... thank you. Because it actually makes it sound more legitimate. So a little bit... while we went to that music break, we were talking a little bit about this tour that you guys had been on for how many months? How many months were you guys on tour?
We were on, like, since May, on and off.
Yeah.
For a while.
On and off, but more or less on.
Yeah, and then from...
if that makes any sense, yeah.
And then from Labor Day till, like, beginning of November, we were, like...
This year.
Gone.
I mean, yeah. 2011.
2011, yeah.
Okay.
We were gone.
Okay.
And then we had, like, a 10-week break or a 10-day break in the middle, but we were basically gone the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys... And you were telling me that you had a story...
We do. I do have a story.
Yeah.
This was not. This was actually in November. We went out like down the West Coast a little bit. But if you want to hear the story, story goes.
I do want to hear the story, Forrest.
I think we're staying in Santa Rosa for some radio thing we had to do the next day.
Uh huh.
I don't remember. I was sleeping in a bed. And
is that a hotel that you guys were at?
A hotel. Yeah. Yeah, it was a Shady Days Inn we were staying at.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and I was sleeping, and then I usually stay in the room with Daniel and our tour manager, Danny.
Uh-huh.
And they were, like, gone at some bar or something. And they, like, come in the room. Danny, like, jumps on me while I'm sleeping, wakes me up, and is like, I'm sleeping in this bed. And I was just like, didn't move. I was just like staring at him like, oh my God, that was scary.
This is like, is this like 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
So you're basically,
I've been asleep for a long time.
You're in REM sleep, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get woken up like that. Didn't really like it. And then I get like the rollaway bed set up, and everybody's like trying to go to sleep, and I'm just like laying in my bed with my eyes awake, like getting more and more furiously angry at our tour manager. I don't even know why. Like, I was just getting so mad about how he woke me up, and like,
yeah,
that I didn't want to sleep in the rollaway bed and I wanted to sleep in the big bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I eventually, like, I was like sitting up in my bed and Daniel was like, are you okay, Forrest? And I was like, I'm fine. And then I wanted to like wake up Danny in the same way that he woke me up. And I was extremely mad. So I came over to his bed and like ripped the covers off. And I was like, wake up. And he was like freaking out and like was kicking his legs at me. I don't know. It was crazy.
Daniel, so it was almost like a brotherly fight.
I didn't even try to attack him. I just like was standing there and woke him up. And then I was like crazy. I don't know.
Daniel made it sound like you attacked him with a pillow, ripped the covers off him, and then he like double leg kicked you into the window.
Oh yeah. And then I didn't attack him with a pillow. I just ripped the covers off. Oh, okay. And then he like kicked me in the window, and then Daniel like restrained me.
So basically,
not that I was going to like attack him.
You,
I don't know.
You seem like a very even keel person.
Yeah,
you seem very calm, and I'm what I have in my head. I'm picturing you like red faced, because this is what I would do, right? Uh-huh. If like somebody woke me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, get out of the big bed and go sleep on this cot, right? Yeah. I'm gonna be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, and I'm a pretty assertive, maybe a little more passive sometimes.
Okay, person. Okay,
but I like keep it to myself most of the time and don't like.
So basically, like you're like a bottle. You're bottling everything up.
Yeah.
Over this tour, and then it all came out all at once.
That was extreme though. Like I wouldn't consider myself like a bottling type
it's still
of person.
But still, how you're telling it doesn't sound very extreme.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know.
The way I heard the story the next morning sounded kind of extreme, but that might have just been
I could be like making it sound not so extreme just for
the fake radio.
Yeah.
For fake radio audience. Yeah.
But yeah, I was just mad that he woke me up, and like just being on tour and wanting to see my girlfriend, and it was just, I don't know. It just set me off somehow, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next day, I was back to normal. I was fine. I was like, I'm really sorry that I did that to you. Because I didn't even
wait,
know
they
that
did
was
the
possible.
Same thing to you, though. That's bullshit. You
well,
should apologize.
Except for he didn't attack me like that. He was like, laughing and was like,
right.
Thought it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean.
And then was surprised when you actually gave up the bed. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I'll sleep here then.
Yeah, kind of. And then I, like, freaked out.
Knowing Danny, though, he probably wasn't that surprised that you gave up the bed. He was like, this is my bed. And I'm going to sleep here because I'm Danny.
So how, because you guys have from the sound of it, you guys have toured quite a bit. And been on some longer tours. How does the band dynamic work out? I mean, do you guys usually get along pretty well?
Yeah.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, it's for the most part, like, we've all come to the understanding that, like, when you're in the van and there's, like, nothing to be said, you just don't talk.
Right.
Like,
right. You don't feel the need that you have to, somebody has
yeah,
to be
you don't,
chatting
no,
at
nobody
at any
needs
point
to, like, entertain anybody because we're all, like, in the same boat.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, and I think that strays from fights a lot because, like, nobody's, like, trying to be weird on a regular basis. Like, we're all just kind of, like, it's like being at home with other people that you don't live with, like, in a moving vehicle. But you just kind of have to, like, find your spot, make it your spot, and just be there.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not weird, like, things don't have to get weird ever.
Yeah. So does it, I mean, does it make it weird when somebody's got really bad gas in the van?
Like, I think things like that kind of like add excitement to it.
It kind of, it gives everybody when something you're driving to talk
like
about.
More like 8 hours just to go from city to city. It's like having something happen is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Because there is a lot of driving involved. Yeah, right? There is. From place to place. Yeah. And I've always, you know, like people like myself, which are in bands that never really, you know, pan out or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We all have this like thought in our mind that touring is like the goal, right? That was always my goal, to like go on a tour or something like that, which never happened. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, this fantasy of being in a van with some buddies and just having a good time. But most of the time it's just, like you guys are saying, it's like driving.
Yeah.
And then somebody farts and you're like, man, Brantley, you are rotting from the inside out. What did you eat? Yeah. Quit buying the 20-piece chicken McNuggets.
For only $5.
Yeah. For only $5.
We calculated that you could get, what, like 5 million chicken nuggets for $1 million or for like something
five,
like that.
Like for like 500 grand, you can get 5 million chicken nuggets. Like
I don't know why.
That's actually, that's when you say it that way, that is a killer deal.
Yeah.
we went on this whole thing about it in L.A. We were like all in the car just like,
oh my
and we
God.
Like passed a billboard that was like, you know, like basically made chicken nuggets awesome. And we were like, somebody was like, how many chicken nuggets can you get for this much money? And then it just kept going up and up and up to the point to where, like, if you had 5 million chicken nuggets, you could fill an entire house full of chicken nuggets.
Guys, if we took our whole living stipend for this month, we could have this many chicken
nuggets. We could have 10,000 chicken nuggets.
Seriously.
I think it even got to the point where we were talking about, like, using chicken nuggets as currency. Like, what would it be like if the whole world just, if you just paid for things in chicken nuggets?
Like it would be a smelly world, man.
That's
be
the kind of smelly stuff world that entertains you. In a
yeah, right, right. That's like tour life is like the most mundane, ridiculous shit. It's just like you don't have anything else to think about because you've been sitting in the car for 8 hours.
Right, right.
Staring out the window. And so you like see something and somehow like a magic moment happens where everybody jumps on the same like idiot wavelength that you're on.
Right. Like, well, you just say, you get to that point where you just lose it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you just get, and you just become loopy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does kind of happen like
you
that.
Just, especially with like modern technology, like having a smartphone in your pocket.
Right.
Like,
right.
You spend most of your time in the car, like on the internet, on your iPhone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that there's like people around you. And that, like, at some point, like, it's been quiet for 4 hours, and somebody should probably say something to, like, make sure that everybody's still alive or, like, that nobody got left somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just to make sure that everybody's still here with you.
Yeah.
And then, like, the dumbest conversations happen start that way.
Yeah. But those are the most fun. Right?
You're dreaming, kind of.
Yeah, you are kind of dreaming.
You mean I'm dreaming?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You get to that point.
You get to that point to where like reality isn't real.
Everything just becomes like a weird
your
dream.
Life,
yeah. Yeah.
Your life is riding in a car, unloading gear, playing a show, loading gear, getting right back into the car.
Mm-hmm. Do you still like it though? Do you guys still enjoy that?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Does it become? I mean, it becomes. You know, when you're on. Let's just say like Christmas break or something like that. You guys are back home and stuff like that. Is there ever a point at which you are like, man, I'm itching to get back out on the road and play some shows and just do this?
Yeah, definitely. When you haven't, like, we've had kind of a long break since like the end of November.
Uh-huh.
And it's at some point you're just like, it's like going on vacation, but like going on like a work vacation. It's like you're going to do work. Yeah. But you're going places, you're seeing people you've never seen before, and it's just, it's always good, even though you whine about it at the time because you're like, I just want to go home.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like you, at the same time, you don't want to go home. It's just like you kind of reach this like point of limbo where like you don't, like after you've been out for so long, that being home is weird.
Yeah.
But then after you've been home for so long, that being going out is like the most exciting thing ever, like because you're leaving.
Well, and you're seeing new places and meeting people and stuff like that. Yeah. We talked about this a little bit too on the break, that you guys like, and I'm sure this has got to happen to every band out there, that like, you know, you go and you enter the tour with like really high hopes, and then you end up playing like a show with like five people in attendance. Mm-hmm. And is that, I always ask this question of bands that come in on the podcast here, like, is that just like the most soul crushing experience? Like, or do you just take it one show at a time?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You learn to deal with it.
You can't let it crush your soul like that. You just have to be okay with it. And be well, that's how it is right now.
Yeah.
And you realize that tomorrow is a new day and a new city and a new opportunity, and like, you know, you can let it bother you, but if you do, it's just bothering you. And you can't do anything about it. So it's like, you know, you still play well and you try your hardest, but, and the five people that are there appreciate it still, you know, it'd be soul crushing, I think, if nobody came.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the five to 10 people that come still enjoyed the shit out of it, you know? So it's not like, it's not like you're alone in it. Like, after the show, you can talk to those people and they'll be like, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, or whatever they have to say.
Yes.
It's almost better than having 500 people trying to tell you that, because you can stop and like have a conversation with that person.
Yeah, you can actually like make a connection with somebody at the show and hang out with them afterwards and let them buy you drinks.
You make new friends that way, though. It's because then you have the opportunity to like sit down and talk to somebody and spend time with them, as to where like if there was like, you know, a line of 50 people at the merch table, you're like just looking at people like, I'll sign your CD.
Yeah,
and handing it off.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
if somebody comes and asks you, and you're like, "You want me to sign your CD?" You're like,
"Yeah, yeah, really? Here.
You want my autograph?" And they're like, "Yeah, fuck it, this is a great." And you're like, "I love this because I can actually." But then you like get past that point, and you can like, you actually get past like the point of where they're like done being like astounded by you, and they're just.
Hanging out.
It comes to the point where you're just hanging out. They realize that you're just a person, and you realize that they're just a person, and it's like then you become people together, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's not bad. It just doesn't make you money.
Yeah. That's the hard part, right? Yeah, totally. Well, you guys, you also told me a little bit... You got into an accident.
On one
of these tours. When did this happen?
That was
October.
Yeah, end of October. We're coming. Well, we're going to our last show or second to last show.
Show,
we're driving from Chicago to
Minneapolis,
and driving through the night, played a show, trying to get there. Or we're actually staying like halfway.
I feel like we had radio or something in the. Do we?
We had a radio thing the next day.
Yeah, we did, and it got canceled because we couldn't make it.
Yeah, so we were driving. Well, you need some backstory first, because our keyboard player Josiah was driving. And
is he a bad driver?
No, he's a great driver. Similar thing, though, happened. We hit a deer. We hit a huge buck. But this had happened to him before in another band when he was driving.
Oh, my God.
And, like, same thing. They were driving through some random state.
Through Wyoming,
yeah. They hit a deer, and they had a huge like van and trailer rig like we did, except the first time that happened to him, the airbag blew up in his face, and like he lost control. The trailer started like whipping around.
Oh.
They like flew off the freeway and rolled the van twice, and like,
oh my God,
some dude broke his arm. It was really bad.
The lead singer fucking, he flew out the passenger side window, and the van actually landed on top of him, but it landed wheels down. So, like,
what?
It landed wheels down. He didn't have a scratch on him. But he flew outside of the van, and the van rolled, and somehow never touched him.
Wow.
And he was never, like, he had, like, scratches on him.
Yeah.
But the van landed on top of him, and he crawled out from under the van unhurt.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Like, just not, it was, like, the least, like, the worst possible outcome of hitting a deer ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, their gear was... all over the freeway.
Like,
just everything was just wrecked. And so Josiah was really
scared
of hitting.
And so we're driving, and then this huge deer just runs out and he doesn't even see it and he hits it and he's just like, oh my God, oh my God. And he like keeps it under control and the airbag doesn't blow up. So we are good. The engine like died right when we hit it. And
right,
we were able
right.
to make it off on this one exit that was close.
Uh-huh. Just kind of roll to a stop.
Yeah.
Holy crap. What time, and you were saying that was like super
was
early
like
in the morning.
Yeah.
And so everybody else is sleeping.
I think, everybody was basically asleep.
I was like just falling asleep, like right when it happened. It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Good God.
It was crazy.
I've never had that experience. I've been close, but man, does that make your heart fucking stop?
Mm-hmm.
It was really, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I remember the sound of like the hitting the deer. Like it was,
thought,
it just happened. Like I can remember that
like
sound.
Like break the windshield too? Or
No. It didn't come up that hard or that high, but like the sound of like the van smacking the deer.
Yeah.
It's like the sound of a car wreck, you know, like when.
Right, right.
But it was like, I don't know. I'll probably never forget that.
Yeah. It was wild.
Oh my God.
There was like, we thought there was like blood all over the place when we, cause there was like a trail of this red stuff and it was like all over the van and we're like, oh my God, there's so much blood.
Yeah.
But then when like the cop showed up, he was like, oh, you got a lot of transmission fluid.
He was like, that's actually transmission fluid.
And you're probably like kind of relieved at that point too, right?
Kind of. And it smelled like tranny fluid doesn't smell good.
No,
I was like, what is wrong with this?
Stinks. That deer smells like shit.
But there was like fur all over the front too.
Oh, I bet.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
We named our van actually. We named it Ozzy.
Yeah.
Because driving through Idaho, a bat. We ended up in Boise and we somehow somebody like looked in the grill and there was just a dead bat in the grill.
Oh my God.
So we named it Ozzy because it eats bats. And then like as a joke later on, somebody put like a dead fish in the fucking grill. Like, just put a dead fish in there and just hung it out and was like, your van ate something again. And then we all decided that the van just likes eating animals. And it tried a deer, and the deer didn't really work out.
Bit off more than it could chew.
Definitely bit off more than it could chew. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. What's coming up next?
We got a show.
Numos.
At Numos on the 12th.
Right, right. You're playing with Brian John Appleby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's going to be a good show.
Yeah,
really good.
It should be fun.
We've got some new songs for that show, too.
Oh, really?
Some unheard, unreleased.
Awesome, awesome.
Brand new, fresh Moto Pony.
Wonderful.
Hot.
And you guys are hot off the press. Are you guys going to be going back into the studio anytime soon and laying down some tracks?
Right after that, we are actually leaving for like the Northern Cascades because Mike, the other guitar player in the band, his parents own a cabin up there. So we're going to
cool.
go. We're going to take all the things we have up there and start working on a new record.
Wonderful. So you guys are actually going to be recording this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. Do you guys have much experience doing that too?
Actually, Josiah produced and engineered the first record.
Okay,
he did
that's
the whole
right.
thing. So,
yeah,
he's good at it.
He's the guy
taking another crack at it.
He's the guy.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I can't wait to hear it, and hopefully, when that comes out, we can have you guys back on and showcase some more tunes.
Yeah, you gotta get us all in here next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. You guys are going to have to share microphones.
That's we've done that one before.
Yeah.
It just involves a little bit of pushing.
Yeah. Right, right. Like, because Sean DeTore had all you guys in studio once,
he just had
the
three of us.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well,
okay.
He had us all at the studio or at the space, but he had the three, Forrest and I and Josiah at the space and we all
just had one mic.
Little tipsy and we had one mic.
Right,
and so we're all shoving each other.
Yeah,
and
that's how Sean likes to do it, though.
I think, he likes to create that atmosphere.
Right,
you got to fight for attention in this place.
Well, thank you guys so much. Is there anything that you guys want to plug besides the show? The show's coming up on January 12th. We already said that. Website,
new record,
new record coming out. Ooh. Website is motoponymusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check out the video for King of Diamonds there. They're also on Facebook and Twitter, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
We
check them
out. We tweet a lot of stupid stuff, too.
What's the Twitter handle?
I think it's just Moto Pony Music?
I have no idea.
It might be just Moto Pony. Sometimes I post things on the Twitter, but I didn't set that up myself.
Okay, okay. So maybe Moto Pony Music. Maybe also, you probably just search for it.
I feel
right?
like it's Moto Pony. I feel like it's just at Moto Pony.
Figure it out.
Yeah. If you want it, you got to find it yourself.
Yeah, right, right. There's a secret password that you have to... Never mind. Well, thanks again, guys. And, of course, you can find us at www.air-raid.net. You can email me, aaron@air-raid.net. And, you know, check us out on the iTunes. Leave us a review. Leave us a star rating. Only takes you a couple moments of your time and really helps us out in the long run. Helps us continue to get great guests like Moto Pony in the dining room studios. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
Had a great time. And we're going to go out today with Wait For Me off of Moto Pony's full length, Moto Pony. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great week because I'm going to. And yeah. And
have fun in Vegas.
We'll, yeah, dude. We will we'll have maybe some Vegas stories for you guys next week.
Next time.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'll make my own music video. While I'm there.
I would really want to see that.
I'll do like a King of Diamonds remix.
That'd be good.
But I'll just like walk around in my underwear. That'd be good. Or something. Just mm-hmm. one up you guys.
That's kind of how I wanted it to happen in the first place.
Wonderful. All right. This is Wait For Me. And this has been the Air Raid Podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
Building bridges out of fame. She stands upon a dinner plate. Tells me that I'll have to wait. Wait for me. I know it won't be easy. What a thing to believe. Searching for a way.